When I was a little kid, about 7 or 8 years old, my mom went over the top with Christmas decorations. I mean, everywhere, every time. There would be the spiritual side of Christmas decorations, all the nativities and baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And then there would be the Santa Claus. Yes, we were one of those families that had both. Don't look down on us, please. We also had nutcrackers, small nutcrackers, big nutcrackers, lots of nutcrackers. But we had so many decorations, and I loved it. I actually really loved it because it was fun. It was like, man, it got me into the Christmas spirit, the Chipmunks, Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas album. Man, I was all about that. I was all about that. I remember my mom had this nativity scene, and it was ceramic. It was fun little nativity scene. And I would always somehow get it intertwined with my G.I. Joes. I don't know. My G.I. Joes had to save baby Jesus from Cobra. Bad guys, right? And I remember I was setting up the nativity. I was setting up my G.I. Joes. And, you know, baby Jesus is in the manger. And for some reason, always baby Jesus always has his arms out like this. And there's a halo over his head and in the manger. And his feet are across. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And so I decided, G.I. Joe is going to save baby Jesus. So I taped baby Jesus to one of my G.I. Joe guys that was going to go on a rope across the couch and be saved. And so he gathered Jesus up, you know, it's all in my head, remember? And I taped him, and he's on this rope, and I slide him on the rope, and Jesus falls off and breaks his head off. And I'm like, oh no. What am I gonna do? G.I. Joe's just killed baby Jesus. What a mess. What's my mom gonna think? This is one of her nativity scenes. And so I had the bright idea, because all the ceramic figurines, the shepherds, the wise men, which weren't actually there, the shepherds, the wise men, they all had like a hollowed center in it. And so I decided to take baby Jesus. This sounds really bad now that I think about it. I took the head and put it up into the wise man. Yeah, this was bad. I know. What kind of pastor am I? It's awful. And so I'm like, my mom won't even notice. Because the rest of Jesus is in the manger, just not his head. And so I put everything back. I put all my G.I. Joes away. I'm in my room. And all of a sudden I hear, Linfield! And then she uses my middle name. You know when moms are upset when they use all your name. Linfield Quentin Hines? Yes, my middle name is Quentin. And I'm like, oh no, she found Jesus. I walked into the living room and I'm like, what, mom? I love you. Right away. And she's like, where's baby Jesus? And I go, I remember saying this. I go, mom, you haven't found Jesus yet? Let me tell you how to find Jesus. And she's like, Linfield, don't be funny with me. Where's Jesus? And I go, well, let's talk to the wise men. Because they may know. Anyways, what a mess. It was a messy thing. I got in trouble for that one, for sure. But nothing a little super glue wouldn't help. It helped a lot. Super glue did. And I got baby Jesus' head back on. It was all good. And my mom still has that nativity. And she always says, remember when you broke Jesus' head off? I'm like, mom, come on. That was so long ago, right? But when you look at the nativity scene, you see always something pictured that is beautiful, right? It's a starlit night. Mary looks wonderful all the time, even though she just had a baby. She looks beautiful. Joseph is like, oh, look at me. And he's always strong with a staff. He's looking at the baby. And Jesus is always clean and bright. And he's not crying at all. And all the animals are either sleeping or they're just staring at Jesus. And then you get the shepherds in the background and they're kneeling. And it's like, oh man, this is a soft, there's a soft light going on. It's a silent night, right? Clean hay, calm animals, a peaceful baby in the manger. And it kind of looks like this right here, right? It's like, oh, you know. Soft light, silent night, clean hay. But in reality, it's more like this. Isn't it? That's what it would have been like. I mean, Joseph couldn't find a place to stay. Mary is pregnant, about ready to give birth. There's pain involved. There's stuff involved. They're in where animals eat, go to the bathroom, all sorts of things. And then all of a sudden these strangers come in right after she's given birth. And Jesus, I don't know if you've ever been in a delivery room before, but the babies don't come out smiling. You know, he is the Messiah, maybe he did, but he also came fully man into flesh. And he was crying. I mean, what a mess it was. What a icky thing. Jesus was not born into comfort. He was born into chaos. A young, frightened mother. Probably a confused and overwhelmed father. No room to stay in an inn or a house or a bedroom. And there was only a feeding trough instead of a crib. I mean, also in this time, there's political oppression. The Romans were in Judea area, in Israel, and they're mean. They're oppressing, they're taxing constantly. They're always going after the population of the Jewish people. And then you have a king, the King Herod, Herod the Great, that all he did was build the temple so nice so that his name could be proclaimed. And he built up this city called Caesarea and called it after Caesar so he could be more Roman than Jewish. And he taxed the people. He killed his own people when they got in his way. He killed his own family to get what he wanted because he was so paranoid. He was a gross ruler. Herod, King Herod, when he was going to die, when he knew he was about to die, he gathered the priests and arrested them because he wanted the people to mourn his death. So what he was going to do is kill all the priests at the same time he died, so people would be crying and wailing in the city. And people would think that it was because of him, but it wasn't. I mean, he was an evil man, and Jesus is born into this environment. Political oppression, fear, uncertainty, and yet, this is exactly how God chose to come. Isn't that amazing to think about? If you get your Bibles out, go to John. It's the fourth gospel in the New Testament. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And when you go to John, you go to chapter 1. And chapter 1, verse 9 says this. It says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And that's good news right there. That's Emmanuel, God with us. See, Christmas is not about God watching from a distance. It's about God drawing near to people. Emmanuel, God with us, that's what it's about. When you read John chapter 1, verses 9, you see that it says light that came into the world. And then you jump to verse 14 of John 1. And it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. But it says that the word became flesh and dwelt. That word dwelt in the original language, skaadno, means to pitch a tent or to put a structure up in place, to live there, to settle there. And that's what God did. He came into the world to settle with us. And when we think about us, we think about how messy it is for God, the creator of the universe, to come in to where human beings are. What a mess. And yet he came. God didn't send a message first. Well, he did through the prophets, but he didn't like call trumpets that night, right? And said to the whole world, what's going on? No, he didn't shout instructions from heaven saying, hey, here we go. You guys ready for this? No, he moved into the mess. He made his home here with us, dwelt among us. Matthew 1:23 said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name, what? Say it with me, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us, not God above us, right? Not God is disappointed in us. Not God is distant from us, but he's with us. And if you think about our world right now in 2025, the end of 2025, and what this year has brought, what the last 5 years have brought, I mean, you see a lot of chaos in the world. You see a lot of disappointment in the world. You see hunger and famine more. You see wars everywhere. It's a mess. We see a mess. We see political gain over here, and we see countries trying to gain over here, and all this political rising up and all this mess. People killing people. People saying bad things about other people. It's a mess. We see the world we live in now and the world Jesus entered then, and it's not so different, to be honest. Not so different from the world that we are in right now. See, for many, Christmas is joyful, but for others, it is so painful. Some are battling addiction while trying to hold on or hold it together in the holidays. Some are curing wounds from abuse that don't disappear when the ornaments go on the tree. Some feel deeply lonely in crowded rooms. Some are wrestling with doubt at this season, wondering if God is really near them. Is God really for us? And guess what? Scripture doesn't ignore these thoughts. In fact, David had these thoughts. King David, one of the greatest kings of Israel, had thoughts of pain and doubt and depression. Thoughts of how God is so far away and then God is so near. I mean, he was all over the map. And you see when he writes in Psalms 34, 18, you see that when he says this, that the Lord, and when the Lord is capitalized like that, he means Yahweh, the great God. When the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord is near. No matter what situation you're in, the Lord is in the mess. And in this season, we can see that Christmas declares this truth. The celebration of Jesus coming to us declares this truth, that God draws closest when the world feels the darkest. And that's good news. Because if that doesn't happen and all we have is darkness, there's no hope. But God draws closest when the world feels the darkest. And I want you to write this down, that God entered our mess. And I say thank you, Jesus, for that. That God entered this messy, messy world. God could have entered the world in power. You know that? He could have entered the world in power. Instead, he came in vulnerability, humbled. He came to the mess. And I love the Christmas story in Luke. Because when you get to Luke in chapter 2, you hear about these shepherds. And I love that the shepherds were the first ones to hear that the Savior, the Messiah, is born. Because back then, shepherds were the worst of the worst. Shepherds were the messiest of the messiest. And the cool thing is that the shepherds in Bethlehem, they were known to watch the flocks of the high priest. And these sheep were the sheep that were going to be sacrificed at the temple. You think that's ironic? That the Lamb of God would be born in Bethlehem, where the sheep of the temple would be. And the first ones to know about the Savior were the ones watching over these sheep. Shepherds were outcasts from society. They were dirty, they were unclean, they were never invited to temple. And yet God chose to announce to them. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 8, we'll start there. And I love what the shepherds do. I can just imagine that night. It's a little chilly out. The sheep are gathered together as close as they can be to the shepherds. They have a fire going. Verse 8. And in the same region there was shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I would too. Right? And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Man. This right here, this part, this half of the story of the shepherds shows us a picture of how much God loves people. Because he comes to those that are outcasts. He comes to those that are weak, those that feel hopeless, those that are in a mess, and he declares to you, "I am here. Emmanuel, God with us." And we are afraid sometimes, for sure. But God says, "Fear not, for I bring you great joy and good news that you don't have to stay in the mess that you're in. You don't have to stay where you're out at. That I am here with you. I'm for you." And the shepherds, man, they get this news before anybody else. Before anybody else. The outcasts. And this is what happens with them. Verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. They made known. And then it says that they went out and told. Isn't it great to know the first people that were evangelists were the outcasts, were shepherds that ran into the streets of Bethlehem saying, "The Messiah is here. The Savior is here." For the shepherds, man, they saw the Messiah, the Savior born, not in a palace, but in a stable, laid not on silk, but straw. Surrounded not by royalty, but by animals and exhausted parents. The manger tells us something very important. And this is what I want you to write down. There is no place too messy for God to show up. There's no place too messy. So if you think that you're hopeless, if you think that you have no hope and nowhere to go and it's end for you, guess what? There is no place too messy for my God to show up, to dwell, because he is God with us. But God just didn't enter the mess to be present. No, he came to bring hope and light. And if you go back to John 1:9, you need to remember the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So what does that mean? That means that God brings light into the mess. And when light is on the mess, it is easier. It's easier to get through because you can see the way then. The night Jesus was born was dark, literally and spiritually. I mean, in that area, there was so many in Judea, there were so many rules and regulations on how to be saved. Everybody had to be cleansed. Everybody had to go through these 660-some laws, rules. It was literally dark, too, that night. But it was spiritually dark. I mean, they had a king over them that didn't even care about religion, about their Messiah, about their God, the God of the Hebrews. He didn't even care. He cared about what Rome thought. There was a high priest that was just out for himself. He got a lot of money for all the sheep that were in Bethlehem that were sacrificed in the temple. There's a spiritual darkness over the land, but heaven announced something new to these shepherds. And though this world was dark and messy, God came. Jesus came to show light on the mess and to make a pathway out of it. John 1:5, what does it say? It says the light shines. It shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. You may feel like you have darkness this Christmas season, but guess what? The light is here and it's shining on you. And it's saying, I am with you always. See, addiction does not get the final word. Amen. Abuse does not define your identity. Loneliness does not mean abandonment. Doubt does not mean cancel of faith. No. Why is this? Because John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, right? His only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gave his only son into the mess because he knew it needed a savior. He knew that you needed a savior, that I needed a savior. And the Christmas story means that God gave himself, not when the world was ready for him, but when the world was broken. This is not just something God did then. It is something God does now, something that gives me hope. And I hope it gives you hope. I pray that it will give you hope as well, and that it is, and I want you to write this down, that it is that God remains in the mess now. And I say praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus, for remaining in my mess, because I am not going to be sanctified completely. I'm not going to be completely saved until I see him face to face. I'm still going to be in this mess because there's an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy always, and he wants you to remain in the mess. And Jesus says, no, I'm coming. I have come, and I will show you the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. For no one comes into the Father except through me. See, Jesus didn't come for a moment. He came to stay, and I'm so glad for that. Matthew, he says in Matthew 28:20, he says, and behold, I am with you always. He wasn't just declaring this to his disciples at that time. He's declaring it to us as well. Behold, I am with you always and even to the end of the age. See, the baby in the manger grew into the Savior on the cross. And this Messiah grew up in the mess of the world. And why was that? Why did he choose to do that? Well, one of the great prophets in the Old Testament told us the why. His name is Isaiah. And if you go to Isaiah chapter 53, it's in the Old Testament. It's after Psalms and Proverbs. There's Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets. And he was foretelling about the Messiah. And so Isaiah 53 53:4, this is why Jesus came for us. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. He came into the mess to take the sins of the world upon himself on a cross, to be pierced, to have nails driven into his hands and his feet, crown of thorns on his head, bleeding. What a mess he was. But he did it for us. He entered suffering so we would never suffer alone. He rose again so the mess would never have the final word. And if your life feels messy this Christmas, if joy feels distance, if faith feels fragile, you are exactly the kind of person Jesus came for. And guess what? He's already with you. He's with you in the mess. Matthew 1:21 again says, she will bear a son. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And this is what Christmas is all about. God among the mess, light in the darkness, hope in human form, Emmanuel, God with us. We've talked about a God who did not arrive in power as the world defines it, but in humility, right? A God who did not avoid the mess, but entered into the mess. Jesus could have stepped into creation with fire and thunder and just got completely destroyed sin, but he didn't do that. He could have demanded worship by force because he's God Almighty. He could have come to this world wearing a crown of gold. But instead, he came in weakness. He came in humility. He came wrapped in human form. He came for us. In that manger that night, took on a different form. No longer was it a place where animals ate food. That night, it became a throne where the King of Kings laid. And the Lord of Lords was in. The manger became a throne, not because it looked like power, but because love was sitting on it.